and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry Nixon, and we're in our special series of Windows Phone episodes where we're talking about different features inside Windows Phone. Today, I'm here with Thomas Fennell. He's the program manager for Windows Phone Developer Platform, specifically around notifications. Today, we're going to talk about live tiles. We're going to talk about notifications, push notifications, and all the fun things kind of around that. Welcome to the show, Thomas.
Thanks, Jerry. Nice to be here.
Now, just before we get started, introduce yourself a little bit for me. We know you're a program manager, but what else?
So, in general nerd, general geek, love Windows Phone, very, very passionate about it. Have like 8 of those I Heart Windows Phone t-shirts and wear them all the time. Notifications is my area of interest because it's a interesting place where both the user experience side of the phone and the platform side of the phone for developers meet. There's not a place as in the developer platform team where you really get to interact both with the UX and with the platform itself and help kind of guide both ends of the spectrum. It's a great place to be because not everybody gets a chance to do that, and at heart, I'm a user experience guy. I would never claim to be a user experience PM. They're way better at it than me, but to me, what matters is giving people the best user experience, and this is an interesting place to let me do that.
Yeah, that is a cool middle ground where you kind of get to touch both of them for sure. Yep. All right, so we've got some developers in our audience. They're watching the show. They know it's about notifications. Notifications are...
In Windows Phone specifically, notifications is kind of a broad term. We use it for a lot of ways, and I'll throw some terminology out there, and then I'll define it so that we don't get people lost. So,
okay.
Notifications are tiles. Notifications are toasts. Notifications can even be something called raw. We won't go quite there yet. Notifications can be alarms and reminders even. So the broad class of notifications involves a lot of things, and they pretty much all have a UX component. They pretty much all have a visual component. That's how we define them. So let's start with tiles. Notifications as tiles are probably the most iconic part of Windows Phone. Pretty much
every app has one, right? You can't can't have an app without it.
Can't have an app without a tile. And what makes those tiles really, really interesting to customers is when they're alive, when they have something cool to show you. So live tiles are a huge part of Windows Phone. And having developers do great live tiles is what usually makes a developer's app extremely popular in the marketplace, or more popular than competing apps in the same category. So the notifications part of live tiles is just that you can make the tile live by sending a notification to it. It can be as simple as updating the count on the tile all the way through actually putting an image on the tile, making the tile have some stuff on the front, the back, different templates. It's really making the tile come alive with what fits your scenario for your application.
Okay, I got it. So out of the box, you get a static tile that just sits there with your logo. You're talking about adding some real live content, not so much live content, but content that brings it to life.
Exactly. And it depends on how you want to do the notification. The interesting thing about notifications is it's not one transport. It's not one way of making that tile come alive. When you make the tile live, it can be over a periodic interval. It can be instantaneous in real time. There's a bunch of different ways to update the tile to actually make it live. Push notifications, for example, you would do in real time. Schedule tile update, it's actually the API is shell tile schedule, is a way to do it kind of on a periodic basis, like every hour, every day. And even doing your tile from a background agent, if you're writing a generic background agent for your app that does other stuff, that agent can update the tile too, and that's almost as frequent as every 30 minutes if you want it to be. So you kind of get a wide range of how frequently you can update your tile.
Let me make sure I understand. So my app has a tile, and it's game, and the user just hit a new high score. I can immediately update that tile to show what their current high score is in this game.
That's right.
That's I can do it right there.
Do it right from within the app even. That's right. That's another way to make the tile live. That's a great scenario, actually.
And my app's not running, but that doesn't mean I can't still update the app, right? You said I could schedule it. So while the app is running, I schedule something to happen some period of time later. So is that based on time from now, or is that based on time of day?
It's roughly based on time from when you call the API. So when you say do it in an hour, roughly speaking, it'll do it an hour from when you originally ask it to do. We do some smart stuff around coalescing because we know a lot of people are doing that on the phone for different applications, and we don't want to have one kickoff right now and then the next hourly interval for another app be 5 minutes later and wake up, because most of the time when you're updating your tile, you're using some data to do it. And so we don't want to hit the network too frequently because then you're also using battery, and that will drain the battery of the phone. So whenever multiple apps...
If I do update it with that, you said roughly around an hour. I hear what you're saying about coalescing it to save, battery and everything else. So that don't rely on the to the second. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. So we never go too far. We do something that we call internally fuzzing. We'll give a percentage of time that we want to go before or after the interval that we think is reasonable for it still to be considered an hour. And in the most part, we wouldn't make you kick off 15 minutes before or after the hour. So it's roughly, you know, 15 minutes in front of or behind the hour you would expect it to kick off.
So that's a pretty big window, and it's worth knowing for developers that you can schedule that out. We'll obey that time within the fuzz.
Within the fuzz. And most of the time, people don't notice at all. You know, if there were a whole lot of apps on the phone, the only thing I can think you might notice is if you have all those apps tiles pinned, they might all kind of flash an update to you at the same time when you're looking at the start screen. But other than that, it's usually transparent for customers.
All right, so the first way is my app is running. Immediately I show, say, the high score or whatever. My app is also running, so I schedule something into the future. That happens. There's a little fuzz around it. Mm-hmm. What's another way I can do it?
Background agent. So if your app has a separate piece of code that runs in a separate process called a background agent, that agent by the system gets scheduled every half hour. And agents are generic, meaning you can kind of do whatever you want in an agent. It doesn't have to be anything about tiles. You could be updating a database. You could be downloading news stories, whatever you want. But we find for the most part, whenever people are taking the time to do something in a background agent, it's useful to inform the user. And one of the best ways to tell them is put something on their tile telling them you got them some new information. So when your agent kicks off and your code executes, you actually use the same methods, shell tile.update, that you would use while your app's in the foreground. You use that same stuff from your agent. You're really updating your tile the same way you would be whenever your app's running. You're just doing it when the agent kicks off instead.
And so in Visual Studio and Solution Explorer, I see there are two projects. I have my UI, and then I also have the background task. But to the phone, they operate inside the same application context. So they have the same access to the tiles and folders
right.
and everything else. So
right.
I can
the permissions
do it all.
And everything, yep, exactly, are basically, as actually, technically speaking, it's two processes running on the phone. But they are part of the same security context.
Yeah, security context. That's the right way to think about it. So now I could have a background process updating it as well. And this is worthwhile, right, Thomas? I mean, I'm going to update my tile. There's benefit back to my application, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's enticing the user. As fresh as the content can be, makes the user want to come back into your app. And many apps' monetization model is keeping the user engaged in the app as much as possible. So helping people get into the app is one of our goals at Live Tiles.
Yeah, so if your tile is live and fresh and you have all this information, it's a much better opportunity for you to be on their start screen, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if once it's valuable, and if you're on your start screen, it's a much more likely opportunity for them to go into your
app. That's like waterfront real estate, right? Like on the start screen is prime.
Yeah, that's right. And a live tile kind of serves two purposes. And if you think about the, like the weather app, in a way, it kind of keeps people out of your app, right? They're saying, look, this is, you don't need to come in. We realize the basic information is here. We'll just put it on our tile. There it is. Happy. Have a good day, right? And that, suddenly that's a lot of value. But it can also draw them in as well. The weather app, again, I could turn it red if I wanted to and say, hey, there's a tornado coming or whatever, right?
We find even with weather apps, even though people do what you said and they use the live tile a lot for the weather app, that's their prime source of information, we do find that with weather apps that do a better, more interesting live tile, they also typically do a better job inside their app with an engaging user experience, and they'll give people nice, something sexy to look at in the app too, and it will bring people into those weather apps.
Ah, got it. So it is handy for that kind of glance and go scenario, but it also is that kind of a reminder of how good the app is as well, and I can go into it as well.
Exactly.
All right, so I do have a live tile. My background task runs, you said, every 30 minutes or so. It has the same capability, right? It can do an immediate update. It can schedule it as well, just like the UI application can as well. But there is a tornado coming, and I am writing a weather application, and 30 minutes, it will all be crushed by then.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a real good case for doing real-time push updates. That's one of them. I would say in that scenario, you should send a toast because a toast is at least going to make some noise and tell the user something's happening. But, you know, something like sports scores are one of those things that people expect to be real-time. I mean, if you're an inning behind your buddies in terms of what they're watching because you can't watch the game, you that's not okay. You want to know in real-time what the score is. So a sports app usually would use push notifications because push notifications As long as you have a server willing to send those notifications down, you can send them as frequently as you want. So,
all right, I think that's an important part of the recipe here, as long as you have a server. So I've written an app. It's a sports application. It needs to stay up real time. I do have that data. It's on my server out on the internet, right, mm-hmm. or wherever, and it has to be the one to initiate that push, right? It's not the client doesn't ask for it. I'm initiating that push. It goes through our services, and it gets delivered to the phone.
Exactly.
That's the gist. And yep. Is that immediate, or is that also a scheduled sort of update?
So with push notifications, you actually get three choices. You can do immediate, you can do 7.5 minutes, and you can do 15 minutes. I'll be perfectly honest. No one uses anything other than immediate. When you're using push notifications, chances are you want it to be right away. So they use the immediate, and it is immediate. I mean, roughly speaking, from the time you hit send from the server to the time it gets to the phone, it should be less than a second.
If I'm driving through a tunnel and I don't have a connection, somebody sends a push notification to my tile to update. Of course, it's immediate, but I don't have that connection for another 30 seconds. Then I come out. Is it queued and waiting to update that tile when I come out of the tunnel?
That's right. Yep. It's queued and waiting. As a matter of fact, we're doing some changes on our... So it's always been that way. Yes, it's always queued and waiting. We're doing some changes in push right now on the server side to actually make the interval for which we'll queue stuff longer. I can't give you the specific yet, but we will.
I don't know what you mean. Interval in what way?
So when you think about the server holding a cache of stuff for you because your phone's been disconnected, right?
Yeah.
The amount of time the server holds that cache is usually finite to some degree, meaning if you went into that tunnel and you didn't come out for 8 days, we might not have kept it for all 8 days.
You're right.
But we're changing that so that that scenario won't happen as frequently anymore. We will hold on to stuff a lot longer so that there should be very few scenarios where you can be disconnected and not still get your notifications when you come back.
That's pretty awesome. Now, what about the server's perspective? The server has sent into the service. Do they get a receipt back, or what do they get?
Response code. So whenever the device is connected, you get something like received, connected, active. Whenever the device is temporarily disconnected, like you described, going through a tunnel, you get temp disconnected as the last status instead of active, right? So there's a great list of the response codes on MSDN that we've done some recent updates to, actually, that will let people know what it means when they get those things back from the server. We've even changed some of our guidance because we used to say after temp disconnected, after your scenario where you go through a tunnel, if you're disconnected for an even longer period of time, you go into something called inactive. And we used to tell developers, whenever you see that the user is inactive, slow down. Don't send them as many notifications because you don't know when they'll be coming back. And we found that for the most part, that wasn't the behavior developers wanted to have. It was putting too much of a tax on the developer to think about, okay, maybe I should throttle back or do some kind of exponential back offer. Yeah. And so after getting that feedback, we decided, you know what, let's just make it simple for the developer. Instead of making them have to think about what to do, why don't we just let them send and send and send as much as is reasonable for them to do, and we'll just roll stuff out of the cache on the server so that it's always the most recent stuff that's stored on the server that will get down to the user and hold on to it for as long as we can for the developer. Right. Made their life a little easier, or will, I think, make their lives easier.
So, that's interesting. I can send and send and send. Now, what kind of machine gun can I actually use? I mean, how quickly, how frequently? Is there some sort of threshold limit?
So there's a couple of different kinds of limits. We talk about one limit that's just pure quantity of notifications and one limit that's more about denial of service. So we do worry that people would try to denial of service a phone. I actually, in practice, we haven't seen it. You know, knock on wood, I'm not going to be the guy.
Oh, that's nice.
But, I mean, in practice, we've really never really seen it. But the server does have a limit for the number of notifications you can send per second to any one device, at which point it'll kind of shut you off. How fast you have to send to hit that limit, I'd be shocked if a lot of people have the hardware to send that limit and the pipe to send it
Way.
Yeah, it's pretty high.
Quite a challenge.
Yeah, so I know, exactly. Yeah, knocking on wood here because I don't want anybody to give me a run for my money.
What about the local code? When I'm updating, let's say I'm scheduling, is there a limit to my schedule? Can I create as many as I need?
Roughly speaking, you can only create one schedule for every tile. And within that schedule, you can really only pick one interval. So you can either say, I want this tile to update hourly, I want it to update daily, weekly, monthly, but that interval is really the only thing you get, and it's a recurring interval, so it'll do it every hour or every day. But if you want to change it, you do have to create a new schedule. You can't set, I would like it to update hourly, and I would like it to update daily. It's kind of
all right. That's interesting. I don't know if I totally I totally get it. I tell the tile, I want you to update once an hour. How is it going to update itself?
So the beautiful part is when you tell the towel you want it to update once an hour, you give it a URI and you give it some payload and you say, this is what I want you to do on the hourly basis. You can tell it, here's a URI in the cloud so that the image that gets updated is always fresh. And then that way every hour we go out and we download that new image for you and put it on the time.
So you're literally querying my server. My server gets, maybe that's a REST call or anything, right? And then when it gets it, it says, oh, here's your payload. And that payload is an XML block.
Not in our case. That's something Windows can do that we can't quite do yet. In our case, okay, we're still restricted to images. You do need images to give us an image that we will download for you.
Okay. So they get back the image, and you show that as if that was the tile. That's the update.
Right.
And now it continues to do that over and over again, repeating that URI that you give it because it's recurring.
Exactly. And so usually what developers do is in that URI, they actually have usually some query parameters, right? So they'll have like, if it's a weather tile, for example, embedded in that URI, it'll be like, you know, question location equals 98052. And, it'll have a bunch of different stuff in it so that when the server gets the request, it'll dynamically generate the image on the fly to return back.
Now, when I create that image, how do I know what image to give back? Because can't tiles be different sizes now?
They can. Tiles can be different sizes. Typically what happens is we let the user pick the image, the size of the image for the tile. Whenever you specify the tile update, so whenever you form up this payload that you want the tile to update every hour, you specify a URI for each individual image size. So small has one, medium has one, front and back, wide has one, front and back. So that way, no matter what size the tile is currently pinned, we will go request the right one for the size that the tile is currently set to.
Perfect. So if I'm small, I don't have to worry about downloading the large one, right? It's all optimized for me like that.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. All right. So we talked about the sizes. So you said there was a small – this is new, right? Developers get to play around here. They didn't have this before. Talk to me about the sizes and how we handle it.
So one thing I want to go back to real quick. So we had another kind of limit I want people to know about on push notifications.
Oh, yeah. Go
another
ahead.
Kind of limit other than denial of service is you have a limit of 500 per day per app, which means
500 per day per app. Okay.
Which really per user, which really means like if I'm subscribed to your service as a user, so you have a service in the cloud and I'm using your app, you can send me in any given day 500 notifications in a 24-hour period. So if you have 2 users of your service, it's 1,000. If you have 3, it's 1,500, right? It's per user.
If I have 1,000,000, it's 500 million.
It's a lot. Yeah, exactly. So the limit is really, I mean, there is a limit, but practically speaking, most developers don't hit 500 notifications per user per day of their app.
Think how much you would hate that app.
Yeah, it would be a lot of notifications. We have some people who chat enough, believe it or not, that they get close. And we do have a way for people to remove that restriction using something called authenticated push if they want to do that.
Interesting. I've never heard of that. What is authenticated push?
So it's a way basically for you to give us a certificate that we trust. That's part of a root certificate authority that we trust so that we know whenever your service sends a notification and that certificate chain comes along with it, we know you are who you say you are and we let you break the 500 limit per user basically. And you find a lot of apps do high volume of notifications, just they need it. And messaging apps are typically on the higher end for some users, so they're in that category. There are not that many apps that take advantage of it, but it is a good thing for those people who need something in a really, you know, high notification limit.
Yeah, makes sense to me. All right, so
tiles.
We have tiles, and you know we have different shapes of tiles. What are the different sizes? And why do you think we have these different sizes?
So we call them, colloquially small, medium, and wide. Officially, I think they're small, square, and wide. But medium was what we always called the one that was square. So the reason we have them is because users want a choice. Users wanted to be able to have more and different stuff on their start screen. When we started this journey with Windows Phone 7, developers who wrote apps could actually only use the medium size. There was actually wide in Windows Phone 7, but it wasn't allowed to be used. And small didn't come along until Windows Phone 8. And as we moved along that road, we realized it's really no good reason not to give it out to everybody. People want to rearrange their start screen, and they don't want to do it just for apps that come on the phone. They want to do it for apps they download from the store. And sometimes it makes sense to fit more stuff in and have things be compact. Sometimes the value in a live tile is purely the count, for example. Just knowing something changed in inside the app.
Those you don't need a gigantic tile for that, right?
It makes great sense for them to be small. But then sometimes the beauty of the tile is the beauty of the image that's on it for a weather app, for example, and you want to see that. Makes you like looking at it. So those you want to be wide. And then there's always the middle ground of medium, because you can get quite a few medium tiles on there as well. And sometimes you want a few cool looking things. Like I keep my people tile in medium. I keep my photos tile in medium. Just a couple of examples of some of the different ways.
Not only is it great that we support all three, but I think the best part of the feature is that the user can switch, right? It used to be OEMs could give you the wide one or it would ship with some wide apps. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't want it to be that wide, right? They've taken advantage of that authority to be able to do it, and they've just wrecked my start screen.
I know. I think it's interesting that you know that. That is it was at one time a well-guarded secret that the way OEMs got to do it, and there was actually some industrious developers actually figured out that you could have an app, a third-party app with wide tiles if you use the right template, but you just couldn't get it through the store.
Oh. You could sideload it on the entire community.
As much as you wanted, but you just couldn't get it in the store.
All right, so now we have our tiles, and how do I decide what my tile looks like? It's not just an image, right? I can do other things too. How do I choose what all those things are?
So the templates are usually broken down into a couple of different elements. There's the count, there's an image of some kind, usually multiple images, and there's some text fields. And depending on the template that you pick, there's, those text fields are in multiple places. Actually, depending on the template you pick, the count might be in a different place. For example, with the iconic tile, the count is a large number, kind of like you see on the mail or the messaging tile. But with the cycle tile or the flip tile, the count's in the top right corner, and it's a small bubble instead. So when you're thinking about what tile to use, sometimes you need to think about what image you might be using on the tile, because you don't want the count to obscure what's going on in the back of the tile. Exactly. And the same goes for what text fields you need. Sometimes it doesn't make sense for you to have text on the back of your tile, so you don't use a flip tile. Or sometimes you want something kind of serendipitous on the back of the tile to give the user some information. And so since flip tile flips over at a random time and it can have a text string, it's the perfect place to put that kind of thing. You can even
Go ahead. Sorry.
You can even use the title. So there's a title, the very bottom left of the tile. We call it the title in all the templates, but really it's just another text string. Some apps use it to say, hey, it's your turn to take this turn in this game. So you can use it for whatever you really want.
The, I got to go back just for a second for notifications. It sounds like for as far as frequency, it could be as frequent as it needs to be, it sounds like, right? I mean, not sub-second or anything like that. And there's probably some fuzzy area, just like there is for scheduling.
There is, yeah.
And that, you can't promise that it's going to be there for that minute, but it's as quick as possible is the idea. And just go, go, go. That's really a cool thing. You were talking about the flip tile, and I remember when that was introduced, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I can't help but I don't see that as often anymore. What's happened to the flip tile?
Well, developers are starting to use some of the other templates that we've started to offer, and it's kind of a good thing, actually. Flip tile was what got used all the time because, that's all we gave you, and that wasn't good. We should have given you more out of the gate. Now that we're starting to give developers more tile templates, they're figuring out that for their scenario, flip tile might not be the right thing. I'll give you a great example. I use a news reader called Weave. I love it. It's great.
Okay.
It shows beautiful images on the tile, and what it does is it uses the cycle tile. It shows me 9 recent news stories, and they scroll up the tile really, really beautifully so that I get kind of a peek inside of the most recent news stories that they've downloaded. Before, they probably would have had to use a flip tile, which means that most they could show me 1 or 2 images. And that's interesting, but it's not as enticing as watching these stories flip through on the tile and seeing that there might be more there that I want to see.
That look is sort of a look we've seen in Windows 8 as well, so there's a nice similarity between that, and I can queue them up. How many can I queue up in that?
So in Windows Phone, we only allow you to queue up images on the cycle specifically, and that's 9 in Windows Phone.
It's 5 on Windows 8. That's unbelievable.
Well,
that's a lot.
That's a little different in Windows 8 because each one of those is a full-blown template, whereas in Windows Phone, each one's just an image. So we're a little different still in that respect. Like, for example, in Windows Phone, you might have 9 images scrolling through, but the text in the bottom left of the tile can still only be 1 thing.
And if you do need to change it, I mean, you could always put that on the text, the text on the image as well. I mean, if I'm pulling out to a URI, for example, it's generating that image anyway. It's probably has the option then to generate the text to put it wherever I want. If, say, I don't know if this is... Would you recommend this to developers if they, the templates don't suit them for whatever reason?
Yeah, we see developers do it a lot. We see them do it a couple different ways. They either call out to a service, like you said, and as part of rendering that image in the cloud, they pop some text onto the image wherever it makes sense, whatever looks good for them. Sometimes developers in their background agent will actually use like a XAML surface, kind of draw up what they want their tile to look like, and then write it to a bitmap or PNG or JPEG, and then they put that on the tile using their background agent. And it is a good way to get more flexibility than we give you. The nice thing about a couple of the templates, like the flip tile and the cycle tile, is images don't have to mean just pictures, right? You can render anything you want into an image. And so rendering text into an image is a great way to do that right now.
Yeah, you do what's best for you. And if I have a much, much lower end phone and you have a much, much higher end phone, do I have to worry about scaling that image, or is that done automatically by the framework?
So we do it automatically. What we recommend is that you give us what we call the highest, right now our highest resolution, WXGA assets, and we'll scale it down for you. For the most part, we find that that's not a problem for any phone to render. We know it's not a problem for the phone to render once you've got it onto the tile. We took care of making sure that would work well in all scenarios. The one place that developers can struggle is in a phone with lower memory, for example, a 512 meg device. If you're rendering your tile on device in a background agent, if you're actually doing all the work to generate the image in the background, sometimes you'll run into memory pressure to get a really high resolution image. But there are some good projects out on CodePlex that kind of help you do that in the most efficient way that works well for Windows Phone. It was a little bit of a thorny problem at first because so many developers we found out that so many developers wanted to do this locally on the phone. And so the community really came together and helped generate some things that helped you do that without using too much memory, because background agents are limited to the amount of memory they can use. And when you think about it, generating an image that's, you know, 336 by 336, full resolution, high resolution, like high density with a lot of text and stuff on it, can get pretty big, you know, it can be a rather large image. And so there is some good stuff out there to help developers bring that down, bring their memory usage down so that it doesn't let them run out of memory in the background.
I run a lot of hackathons, talk to a lot of developers. They're always surprised at how rich our community is right now. There are all these libraries out there. It's so easy to get a conversation going in a forum, get answers to questions. People have struggled with the same thing you've struggled with. Yeah. Here's the answer. They're happy to share it with you. It's really a breathtaking, you know, it's just so broad. Yeah. Let me ask you this. So I have a tile. If I am pulling from a URI and I say once an hour and I'm in the tunnel, is it the next hour that it updates, or does it try again?
So we're as of Windows Phone 8, we actually got smarter with that specific API. And what we do now is we don't punish you for your phone having bad network. If we can tell that the network was not available to us, we won't make you wait for the next hour. We'll wait until the network comes back, and then we'll do it immediately. In previous versions, we would like try three times, and if it didn't work, we would schedule it out for the next hour. But now we are more careful about making sure that the network being the factor doesn't cause you to have to wait.
We were talking about the flip template. We were talking about the recycle. Is that the right one?
Recycle
template? Cycle template. Yeah, where it's pushing through like that. There's way more templates than that. It's not a two-template option. There's tons of them. We were talking about where you can move it around. Notifications also have a template, or do they?
So if you're talking about toasts? Maybe,
yeah, toast notification, yeah.
So that's one of those ones we haven't got into yet. So toast notifications are the banner that pops up at the top of the screen, just a little slim banner.
And we were talking about that with the tornado. Something's coming now. Updating your tile, good idea, but toast is really the way to go.
That's really the way to go. I want to interrupt you. It's important enough that I want you to know, I want you to pull your phone out of your pocket, right? Toast notifications, they don't have a template per se. I mean, they do. There's an XML payload that describes them, but there's not more than one. There's really only one way to do it. You get two text fields, and you can specify some parameters too, and that's basically it.
It's just a phone after all. I mean, there's so much space.
There's only so much space. Yeah, exactly.
And so I specify that, and it's the same process as others. I can do that immediately with the app that's running or a background task. I can also schedule that as well.
So we can't schedule toasts, but your agent can pop toasts if you want. So it's kind of scheduled. If you know that something needs to pop up within a reasonable time frame, within the next half hour, a couple hours out, you can do it from your agent. You can do it from a push notification as well. You can push a toast. You can't actually pop a toast while your app's in the foreground.
Okay.
We figure that while your app's in the foreground, you probably can just take, like, if you were to pop a toast, don't know what the user would really do with it. They could tap it and it might navigate them, but you could just navigate them if you want them to navigate, since you're in control of the navigation stack.
I'm of
two minds about that. I actually kind of would like to be able to let users pop toast while their app's in the foreground, but we're just not there quite yet.
It's okay. So we talk about tapping the toast. So it pops up and it kind of alerts you, wakes you up, makes you pull your phone out. Mm-hmm. That's the only interaction, right? I can tap it or ignore it, one or the other. Yep. I tap it. What happens next?
You tap it, and if assuming you've specified some parameters, which you would hope that you would, you can actually deep link into a place in the app. So the idea with a toast is, if it's urgent enough to interrupt me, also take me where you want me to see and don't make me figure out on my own. So with all the toast types, or whether you're doing it locally or whether you're doing it with push, one of the things you can say is there's a parameters that you can input. So you can either just pass the app some query strings, or you can even pass it the page you want it to navigate to and query string if you want. So either the main page of your app can do the parsing and figure out where to go next, or you can just deep link directly into a couple pages deep within your app if you want to.
So we didn't talk about this before, but in a lot of ways, this is like a secondary tile, where, you know, an additional tile other than your primary one that navigates you past all of your menus and everything else to a specific record. That sort of deep linking from a tile that you can have is really what you're doing also in these toasts that pop up.
Exactly. Deep linking as a concept, whether it's secondary tile or whether it's toast, is exactly the same in how it's handled. It takes you to a specific place. The only real difference is that because toasts are kind of, you know, they're fleeting events, they come and they go, it can be dynamic. Any toast you send can have a completely different navigation point if you want. Whereas a secondary tile, once you pin it, it always navigates you to that same URI it was pinned with.
As a user, if I get two notifications or two toasts at the same time, what happens?
So if you get two toasts at the same time, you hear the noise, and it's from the same app, and you tap the first toast, it'll take you into the app, and the second toast would actually still be there, and you could click it again. If you could click the second toast if you wanted to. If it's from two different apps, maybe you dismiss one and you tap the second one, it just takes you to the second app. They just kind of stack up on top of each other until you do something with them, whether you dismiss them or you just wait for them to go away or you tap them.
Dismissing, by the way, is the back button?
No, you can actually swipe them away. You can actually take a toast and you can swipe it to the right and it'll go away.
I've had a lot of users, you know, they're like, you know, there's a Wi-Fi network present. I have the toast notification that pops up and says there's a Wi-Fi, and now I can't see my score anymore on my game. And they feel like trapped because they don't know about that dismissal action.
Yeah, or they could, in that case, that's also a thing about our back button. People will have to know that they need to hit our back button or, you know, use the task switcher to quickly navigate to an app. The swipe gesture is not as well known as we kind of hoped it would.
Yeah. Well, it's identical, by the way, in Windows 8, and so perhaps there'll be a little synergy between that as well.
Exactly.
So I have I have my toasts popping up, and we were talking about scheduling them. You can't schedule them, but there is a way to schedule a notification of kind, right, that we have alarms and reminders, and you see that a lot in applications. How are they different than how are they different?
So alarms and reminders kind of give you that ability to schedule something. So in the cases where you might want to schedule a toast, we would typically tell people to schedule a reminder or schedule an alarm. Yeah. The only real difference between alarms and reminders is basically the recurrence. You know, so for the scenario that you would use it, a reminder is not something that would usually reoccur on a daily basis, whereas an alarm might be something that would reoccur on a daily basis.
Yeah. So then alarms and reminders, they're like brothers, and
they really are family.
Some don't recur. Okay,
and
they're
similar even in, you know, how you set them up and how you call them, what you actually do to make them happen. There's a few differences. You get to specify a little bit of text differently depending on whether it's alarm or reminder. For an alarm, you get to specify a custom sound if you want to, so that your alarm app can have people woken up with a rooster crowing.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. And we have the ability to dismiss them, but we also have the ability to snooze them. Mm-hmm. And that snooze mechanism, even the dismiss, that's all built in. The developer doesn't have to think about that at all, right?
Now, there's some defaults there. You just let them, they just are what they are, and the user can just pick. I think it's, 5, 10, 15, something like that.
And we were talking about deep linking. This is deep linking too.
Yeah, so there is a tappable place on both the alarm and the reminder that will launch the app for you.
Yeah. There's so many ways to interact with the user without your app even running.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yep, it's wonderful.
It really is, and it's broad, and I think developers get a sense of this, they don't realize just all the pieces in their toolbox.
We really want to bring people into apps. We really want developers to get apps exposure, and so having as many ways as possible to keep people engaging into the app is really important to us, and so that's why we tried to make a lot of ways for them to interact.
So we were talking about like the score of a game. We were talking about, you know, weather. What are some of the worst applications of notifications that you've seen?
Oh, okay, so let's not name names, I guess. But
right, right.
You know,
let's say I did it.
Yeah, I mean, I've okay. So luckily, not on Windows Phone. I've seen apps use notifications on other platforms. I've seen apps use notifications to advertise. Nothing will get you uninstalled faster than bugging someone with an advertisement. It's really shocking. On Windows Phone, some of the worst ways, I don't know. I think all Windows Phone developers are wonderful. As long as they're using notifications,
true,
I'm happy.
It's totally true. Now, if I have we were talking about alarms. If you have an alarm, that UI is decided for you, right? That's the way they look. Don't try and change the color or anything like that. If I have a toast, that UI basically decided for you. The color is the accent color.
Right, yep.
Yeah, yep. And your tile, of course, you have all the freedom in the world to do anything you want with your tile, and you can support all three of them as well. You can queue them up, you can flip them over, you can do whatever makes the most sense to your application. Mm-hmm. And I think what you said about advertising actually makes the most sense is the whole goal of notifications is to make your app useful, and what you don't want is to make your app uninstallable so fast, right?
Exactly.
You don't want to just drive users to uninstall your app. You want to drive them to love your app, to bring you onto the start screen if you can, to be so happy when they get a notification because of whatever reason, and to make it so that those notifications drive you in, if it's toast or alarms or whatever, drive you into the part of the app that makes a sense. You don't want a toast to pop up that says there's a tornado coming. It to show up to your main menu screen that says please pick a city, right?
Yeah,
you want to go straight to the one.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's pretty neat. And it's also the big differentiator. I mean, I realize notifications are out there, but I mean, when you think about live tiles and our ability to really just show off our application to the user in the start screen, it's a big deal for Windows Phone.
And you never see somebody with the same start screen. I mean, no matter how many people you go look at, everybody's arranged their start screen in a different way. They've got their family, they've got their dog, they've got their apps that they love, they're a gamer, they've got their games there. Some are small, some are medium. I mean, there's just such an incredible variety of how people like to make their phone personal, and apps play a huge part in that. You see apps on people's start screen because they love those apps. They love what they see. They're part of who they are, and so they live on the start screen with everything else that they love.
And being able to have those small ones, I can have so many more now where I used to say, well, that's not important enough, but I could just kind of sneak on a tower defense game or whatever it is I'm into at the time. And, you know, my wife has a Windows Phone, of course, right? That would drive me crazy. And she was, you know, we watch all these, you know, we always see commercials for other platforms, and every once in a while she's like, wow. And so she was sitting with one of her girlfriends, and she opens up their phone to show her something. And she's like, where are your tiles, right? I mean, it's just a bunch of, like, pictures. And it was this, like, epiphany that she didn't realize how good she had it. You know what I mean? It was one of those things where suddenly she's like, all the complaints stopped because she realized that other platform didn't have the beautiful benefit of the Windows Phone, all of this beautiful start screen that she could customize and was so active and informational.
I mean, my wife uses her start screen almost like almost like Pinterest, I swear. She pins stuff she's interested in the moment to it. She takes stuff off of it whenever she's not interested anymore. She changes the color more times than I ever thought anybody would change the color of anything. I mean, it really matches what she's thinking about that week or what she's thinking about that month or what season of the year it is. It's so dynamic for her as a personal space for her to feel comfortable in.
Now, let's talk about toasts and notifications for just a second here. If I'm in Kids Corner, do I still get toast notifications?
So you might hear it, but you won't see it. So the toast, if the volume's turned up, the toast might make a sound, the phone might buzz, but the kid or whoever's using Kids Corner can't interact with it. So it's kind of suppressed behind the scenes so that they can't actually interact with it and navigate to whatever they would try to navigate to.
That would make sense, right? Because that would be so frustrating to see it and tap it, and nothing happens. Or does tap it and goes to the app.
Go somewhere, yeah.
If I update a tile, the tiles in Kids Corner are the same as the tiles in the regular start screen. So whatever you update, they see as well.
So it's only primary tiles. That's the one thing to know about Kids Corner. So yeah, if you update your primary tile, which is the tile that you get from tapping and holding on the app list and pinning that to start, updates in Kids Corner too. Secondary tiles can't live in Kids Corner. So right now you can't pin a secondary tile to Kids Corner. We found that talking to most developers, that was fine because most of the apps that are going into Kids Corner are kids. They're focused on kids.
Yeah.
And so we let you pin things like music secondary tiles and album secondary tiles from the built-in apps of Kids Corner. And then for the other third-party apps, mostly the primary tile is all developers has asked us for the ability to get in there.
Yeah, and it makes plenty of sense, too. And it can resize as well, right? They can have the same sort of benefit. My kids love freaking doing that. It's crazy. And they reorder my phone. But it's great because it's totally out of my way. Same thing with alarms and reminders. They're in Kids Corner. Alarms and reminders show up. Yeah. They hear them but don't see them. That's the same idea.
Yeah, and the thought was that, you know, a lot of times when your phone is in Kids Corner, you're close to your kid, right? You're either at a restaurant and they're using it, or they're somewhere in the house with you and they're using it. And the thought was, you might still hear the alarm. You might have forgotten that you had set an alarm for something, and your phone still needs to tell you that. But at least if it makes the sound or your kid feels a buzz, they might say, hey, Dad, Mom, you know, something happened with the phone. What's going on? It gives you at least a chance for you to still see what's going on.
Yeah, maybe rush in and see it still sitting there. Yeah. If I'm a user and I'm getting a lot of toast notifications, I don't hate these apps. I don't want to uninstall them, but I want to stop that. Part of the guidelines is that the apps have the ability to shut them off, right? I can go into settings, mm-hmm. and developers have made that available to me.
That's right. One of the certification requirements is that you have a way to turn toasts, specifically toasts, off from within the app. And we find developers are, you know, they do that because they know that some people just don't want to get them and they want them to keep their app. That's not a requirement for Tiles. Tiles are non-interruptive, so we really don't feel like you should have to have a way for the user to turn it off. It's nice to, because sometimes people just don't want the Tile to update for whatever reason, or they don't want the app to use data. But as a strict requirement, you don't have to do it for anything other than toasts.
Yeah, that makes sense. What about as a user? I want to turn off all notifications. Or all toast notifications coming in? Is that a possibility?
Not yet. So we don't do that in Windows Phone today. We figure that for the most part, developers have done the right thing. We haven't had anybody really say that they need a way to just turn them off altogether. We don't find that people want to stop getting toast so much as they want the phone to stop making noise. And for that, they usually just turn it to vibrate and they're usually okay with it.
Yeah, that makes sense. If I'm on a phone call and I have an active call, I can still get a toast notification. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I can get an alarm. I get, you know, appointment reminders when I'm on the phone as well. So that doesn't block it. What if I'm in my app? Can I block other developers from raising toast notifications while my app is visible?
Nope. If your app is in the foreground and another app raises a toast, it'll show up at the top of the screen just like anywhere else you were on the phone. If you were in mail and an SMS came in, then the SMS app would pop a toast at the top of the screen. We figure users should be informed about what's going on. Hopefully developers aren't using it as a competitive mechanism to jump people in and out of their apps. But it's usually important information if it's a toast. And, you know, helping the user have the choice to navigate into that at that point in time is why it's there. So.
All right, so we were talking about tiles, both primary and secondary tiles, and all the different templates and the ability to keep them live, both as a local app, the background task that could be running, being able to pull from a URI, which is really cool, scheduling that so it goes gets done, and the ability to push and be able to push that at a frequency that's right for your application. I think that's very, very cool. I could also push secondary tiles. We didn't say that earlier, but that's there as well, right?
Yep.
And then we were talking about toast notifications, this transient way of communicating with the user that shows up and it queues up if they get multiple, and it's our ability to both raise them from background tasks, we can do it, mm-hmm. and we can also do it from that outside service out there that's getting pushed in as well. Right. And then we talked a little bit about reminders and a little bit about alarms and how really the differentiation is just whether or not they recur or not. They have a little bit different UI and the ability to snooze and stuff like that. But again, just like all of them so far, they get the deep link into your app wherever you want them to go. Mm-hmm. And kind of a communication mechanism for you to pass in almost a query string, mm-hmm. into your application and kind of know where it's coming from. And that's a lot of power. That's a lot. I mean, I wanted to make sure we get it all in there. Any nuggets you want to throw out to the developer community right now about, don't do this. You might think this works, but it actually doesn't. Anything like that?
The one piece of advice I'd give to developers who are using push for tiles is that there's one gotcha that gets almost everybody, and I would love to have the opportunity to remove it from the OS. It's called the allowed domain list. Whenever you push a tile notification, if you specify a remote image that you want us to retrieve for that tile, the domain that's hosting that image has to be in the allowed domains list within the app. So you basically call something called bind to shell tile when you want your app to receive push tiles. And there's a way for you to call that and specify a collection of URIs. And if the URI, the domain that image is coming from, isn't in that collection, everything will seem just fine. The image or the push will come down, but the tile will never update. And it's bitten so many developers that the allowed domain list, just the allowed URIs, please just remember to put that in there, because it makes developers really frustrated. And if I get my way long term, we won't make people do that anymore.
It's one of the ears that swallowed, and so you don't realize it's wrong, it's just not working, and
yeah.
You just have to know. That's a good hint. That's a good hint.
But overall, what I want to tell people is just keep making beautiful stuff. Every time I get an app these days, I swear, so many apps have jumped on board doing tiles that now I do have a problem because I can't have so much stuff to put. I want to put on start, and that's it's a good problem to have. But still, I mean, I'm just so happy to see people using it the way they are because it just makes me love using apps.
Yeah, developers and designers have a problem with all these different sizes because, you know, they have so much content. And they're like, the big one is enormously easy, right? You just dump it on and it's beautiful and go. And as it gets smaller, like, how can we constrain our content so it still has value? And even the smallest tile is live.
Technically speaking, there's still an image you can put on that smallest tile. I mean, you could put whatever you wanted on that small tile. There's an app I use called Simple Calendar that actually puts something on their small tile, and it's still useful, even though it's tiny. So.
Yeah, it's really up to the imagination of the designers and developers making those applications. And you're exactly right. All the newer apps are really the ones that are leveraging it the most. You can tell that they realized the value, they've gotten into it. And I'll tell you, the apps that don't, you know, there's almost a sense of pity. You know, you're like, golly, there's so much you could have done. I almost want to write the app for them. You know, I'm like, look how much better it could have been if you would have only done it.
And we even,
it's the coolest thing.
We see now that people pay attention to in Marketplace. If you're using a live tile in your app, we kind of, when we ingest your app, we kind of check and see if you're using a live tile. It's not the world's most accurate check, but we check to see if you're using certain methods, if you've got certain capabilities. Mm-hmm. And if we see that you are, we can tell that it's very likely that your app does something with the tile. We say so in Marketplace. We say with live tile right at the bottom of the listing for the app because people love apps that have live tiles. There's just something about it that makes people want to use it. And so we thought for developers that do that, let's reward them. Let's let people know that one of the features they want about the app is right there in the listing and the developer doesn't have to say it. The user can trust that it's there because we check for it.
I suppose it's worth saying that push notifications is also enabled through Windows Azure Mobile Services as well. It's still the same services that are being used and everything, but they have an SDK wrapped around it to allow you to have triggers on the server then, you know, so changes in your data or some sort of action to cause that push notification without necessarily having to have a dedicated server out there to be able to handle all of your stuff.
They made it so ridiculously simple. It's really great. I mean, they made it very, very easy for you to use push notifications. It's like you said, I mean, most people have something like a trigger is when they want to send the push notification and hooking it up to whatever your specific trigger is. It's a very straightforward API to then send it down to the device. They take care of making sure the right URI gets up to the service, making sure the notification gets sent to the right URI. I mean, all of that is part of the project that you can get from them. It's really impressive.
That's a nice SDK. It saves on other things too, right? I mean, there's a lot to that SDK that really is beautiful and does 99% of that boilerplate that everybody repeats over and over too. Mm-hmm. All right, now Thomas, this has been an excellent conversation, by the way. I mean, I feel like there's so much information flowing. It's great. Notifications are obviously not only a differentiator in the tile side for Windows Phone, but also a differentiator that developers can use in their apps. And it's not like they're incurring some sort of nasty cost because of it either. Just something that's given to you as part of the framework, part of the operating system that you can leverage and make your app that much cooler, that much better. Everything is nice. You'd be crazy not to do it, right? I mean, you would just be crazy not to leverage it. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
All right. Hey, have a great one.
You too.